everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, Ariel, Raylene. But today we have a guest. It's Colleen Fidler in the house.
Hi.
Hello. We are so excited to have you on for many reasons. So excited to have someone who reads a lot of different stuff than me and Raylene read. But most excitingly, you have illustrated the third quarter of our bookmarks, and they're beautiful.
So cute. Ah!
Thank you. I'm so excited. People have been sending me videos of them opening up their packages, and I'm just at home sobbing with my dogs looking at me like they don't know what's happening, but it's all happy feet, positive feelings.
They're so gorgeous, and it's just so exciting with this project, because when we thought up this idea and we executed it, we were like really excited to see how different illustrators and artists tackled a bookmark. And it's been even more fun than I imagined because they're all so different. And yeah, no, we're thrilled with yours. One of them is an adorable mouse on a stack of books, which is incredible. And then the other one is a lino cut. Can you tell people what a lino cut is and maybe a little bit about how you got into lino cutting? Because I think that that is so unique. Mm-hmm.
So a lino cut is essentially a stamp of varying sizes. Typically, I work with 18 by 24 inches. This project was really fun for me because it's the smallest. I expanded it from the bookmark size even just to carve it. But you carve the image into this block backwards, whether it's on linoleum or rubber, whatever the material is. You roll ink onto that stamp and then you print it onto your paper with lots and lots of pressure. Some people have, you know, rolling machines and presses they put it through. I've got a little piece of glass that I roll on top of it. It's very ASMR friendly. Not very wrist friendly, but very ASMR friendly. And I started doing lino cuts during this crazy thing that happened in 2020. I'm not sure if you're familiar. Don't know if you heard of it. Yeah. Yeah.
What could that be?
I don't know. I really wanted to just try something new with my art, and I was already in this place of slowing down, and the lino cut process is such a very slow, tedious process. It's something where if you make a mistake, it is very, very difficult to change or alter. And that was really freeing for me as someone who's very rigid, just very structured. I hold myself to a standard that I would never hold anyone else, which we're working on. Yeah, doesn't sound familiar to anyone, I'm sure. So doing lino cuts, was just really freeing for me. And I fell in love with that process of being able to make my own prints at home and kind of just really do every start to end of that process.
I love that. That's really, really cool. I have done some lino cuts a long time ago on rubber stamps, like on rubber sheets.
Yeah.
It is the most satisfying thing to like do that cut. You're just like, yes. Oh no. I love that. Well, we were so excited to have you as one of our illustrators, and now we're so excited to have you as one of our guests. So as always on our guest episode, we start with some lightning round questions to try and get to know you and your reading taste. So let's start with this huge question. Let's just rip off this bandaid. Who would you say is your favorite author?
First off, you're incredibly cruel.
I know.
I spent days sitting in front of various shelves being like, this is the big question.
The biggest question of all.
If I answer this ink or no, there's like zero stakes at all. So I found my answer a little bit interesting because I, like you mentioned, predominantly read horror now, but my answer has to be Mr. Neil Gaiman for a variety of reasons. First off, his books are incredible, but I think just as a human being and what he does for art and literature, and he talks about the process of making art and writing, how could you not love him?
Yeah, he's so cute.
He's just an incredible human being. And then, I've always loved his books. I think the transition from fantasy to horror was something that kind of made sense in terms of my reading, in terms of like the film and TV and media that I watch. I have not yet watched Sandman because I'm nervous.
I was about to ask. I haven't started.
I've heard it's great.
Have you read it?
Yes.
Have you read Sandman? Oh,
yes.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's very interesting because I've now watched the show.
Oh.
And I loved it. It was so cool. And I was like, I have to read this now. And I was looking it up. And boy, are there a lot of issues.
Yeah.
That's a commitment.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
I really
trust your response, so that gives me confidence going into it.
It was cool. It really had this really, like, Doctor Who vibe in this, like, nostalgic way that I haven't felt about a show since, like, 2012, when I was into Doctor Who for 2 years.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, we are walking in London figuring out some weird supernatural nonsense. It's fantastic.
I love it.
No, it was super fun. Do you have a... well, maybe I'm jumping the gun here. I was going to say, do you have a favorite Neil Gaiman, but is that your favorite book?
I start breathing so heavy. I think my favorite Neil Gaiman is Good Omens, which is in coordination with Sir Terry Pratchett as well. Mm-hmm. And that book is just hilarious. It's horror, it's fantasy, it's got death personified. It's my favorite by far.
Is Neil Gaiman's not knighted, right?
No. Sir Terry Pratchett was.
Is Mr. Neil Gaiman going to become Sir Neil Gaiman?
I hope so.
I feel like that's on the horizon.
Right.
Yeah.
So you heard it here first. All right. Well, then let's move into your favorite book.
Okay.
Is it Good Omens?
It is not Good Omens.
Okay.
It is something that I read very recently, and that is A Certain Hunger by Chelsea G. Summers. It is about a female cannibal who's a food critic.
Ooh.
Oh.
Hold on. That sounds incredible.
It's amazing. I have it right here for you, really, in front of me.
I was like, the name sounded familiar. Now that I've seen the cover, I'm like, yep, I've seen that around.
It's very short.
Oh, even better. Ugh,
you're really selling it.
Every single, perfect. But every single word is there with such intention. It's beautiful. She goes to Europe and talks about being in Italy and truffle hunting. She murders men that she loves, men that she hates, which bring her some conflict. It is so, you feel so uncomfortable rooting for this character.
I love that.
Yes.
And yet you just want her to do her thing. Live her, you know?
Wow. So how recently did you read that book?
This last month.
Wow.
Yeah, within the last month. And immediately I was like,
That is so exciting. I feel like I haven't read, well, I lie. I read a book called A Ballad for Sophie this year. It's a graphic novel, and it's definitely now in like my top 10 books of all time. Mm-hmm. But I haven't read like my new favorite book since I was 16.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm just like, I'm jealous of people who are reading these books that are I think the problem is I've mythologized it too much.
Right.
I'm like, it's become more and more
unreachable. Nothing can top it.
Sure. Yeah. It's really up there on that pedestal of perfection.
Exactly. Raylene, would you say your favorite book is The Great Gatsby?
That's a tough question.
It is a tough question.
I would have to think about it for a little bit longer. I don't know if I would definitively say it's my favorite book. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, there are so many books that I love. Like, The Name of the Wind is also up there. But I'm like, how do I pick just one? It's impossible.
Yeah, it's like it's a hard question to be asked. That's so weird.
Right? Like, you can't ask these questions, and it's just not okay. I don't know what I would say. I don't know what I would say to that.
I'm just so curious. I wonder, I wish we could poll humanity, well, like readers, and ask, like, is your favorite book something you've read in the last 5 years? Or not? Like, is it a recent-ish thing, or is it something? I wonder if that's like split down the middle.
That's
very interesting.
I think there's something to be said for nostalgia, right? Especially
exactly.
When you fall in love with reading outside of, I feel like, especially an academic environment, when you're a teenager for a lot of people, Right? Yes. There's just that emotional attachment.
100%. So up next, I mean, I think you have touched on this, but what would you consider as your favorite genre slash why is it your favorite genre? Why are you enjoying that so much? I feel like I hear a happy dog.
Yeah, sorry. Zach, can you grab Emmy Lou, please? She's decided to just burrow into the ground. Thank you very much.
This is her moment.
She's trying to hide under my desk.
Oh my gosh, precious angel.
So my favorite genre is horror. I do love a good thriller. But specifically, I love a good haunted house book. I love a good monster book. I love a good, I learned this phrase recently, good for her book, which is this kind of feminist take on horror. So if you look at vintage horror, a lot of times when we see the female, typically people think of film immediately, right? It's the, like, busty femme fatale running in high heels, screaming. She's just there to be one of the first people who dies, right? But now if we look at horror films and books lots of times written by women, there's this feminist stance of them actually growing through this traumatic experience. Oftentimes we have the final girl trope, which, you know, in Halloween and older film, there were occasionally those women. But now look at, like, Jamie Lee Curtis, who's older now playing Jamie Strode, and how that's completely different from, Laurie Strode, rather, how it used to be. So a good for her book is a book. They can be fairly intense. Typically, they deal with, like, domestic abuse or things like that, right? Where the character starts off in a really traumatic abuse kind of ridden position, but then they grow through the horror book. And the good for her book would be, for example, like something like A Certain Hunger with the female cannibal, right? Where at the end, you're just like, good for her. Do I support all these choices? Questionable. But you know what? Good for her. Oftentimes they end up getting revenge or killing their abusers, things like that, where again it's like, do I support this? I don't know.
Yeah, but in the fictional context of this world, yes, this is fine.
Exactly. In this context, we're clapping for her.
That's really interesting. So you said you kind of switched from fantasy as your favorite to horror as your favorite. Was there a book that was sort of a transitional moment for you?
I think Shirley Jackson was probably person for me. And then I'd always just grown up watching lots of horror, so I don't know why it wasn't something that I was actively reading. I think one of the reasons is actually, if you go to the bookstore and you go to the horror section, it's just like a block of Stephen King and, I didn't really know where to start. So BookTube was a great way for me to transition into that. But again, really over kind of the last couple of years was when I ended up transitioning to that. And I mean, dark fantasy into horror isn't too much of a stretch, right? They have a lot of similarities.
Yeah. I've actually been to a couple of bookstores recently where the sci-fi, fantasy, and horror are all in one section, which I thought was really interesting. And I was like, well, this is perfect because I want to look at all of it, but weird. Right. Like, weird that they did that. I've seen it multiple times now.
Our next question here is mashed potato book. And I think I didn't explain to you in the email what a mashed potato book.
Oh, I'm a listener.
Thank God.
How dare you?
I'm realizing that I left a bunch of key information out of this email that I sent to Colleen. And as I'm sitting here looking at the next question, I was like, how am I going to quickly explain what a mashed potato book is? Thank God. But for the people that are listening, Raylene, who don't know, because it is not self-explanatory.
No. And if you've missed episode 2 of our podcast, you'll never know how it came to be, where it came from, the inception of this strange concept. So a mashed potato book can mean a few different things. It can mean a book that you've been saving for a long time because you want to read it at the perfect moment. You know, you're so excited to read it that you just keep not reading it. That's something that we do a lot. But it could also be a book that you have read recently that you were kind of saving and you just happened to finally have conquered the mashed potato. You ate the mashed potatoes finally. So your answer could be both, or either, whichever you prefer. Like, what's something that you've read recently that was a mashed potato, or what's something that you're still potatoing?
You're
still mashing that potato.
Yeah, Colleen, what do you got for us?
So, not a horror book. My mashed potato book is The Storied Life of AJ Fikery.
That's interesting.
Miss Gabrielle Zevin
has a new book that came out recently that I haven't picked up yet. Have either of you?
Tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I just bought it, but haven't read it yet.
I also have it, but haven't finished it yet. I'm only like a chapter in. It's very exciting.
Perfect. Yeah, well, this is a book that my mom gave to me many years ago, and I went, ugh, that's such a mom book.
Yes, it really is. It definitely, I know what you mean.
It's about a bookstore owner. He's grumpy. He lives in a small town. A toddler gets abandoned in his bookstore and changes him into this wholesome creature. It's very mommy. Yes. And I mean that in the most complimentary way, because I love my mother. And she, in fact, has excellent taste in literature. And this is my mashed potato book, because I put it off for a long time. And then upon reading it, it took all those cliches and just wrapped it into the most heartwarming, comforting, just beautiful book. I was on a plane reading this, being like, I'm not crying, it's fine.
You're crying.
Fine. Don't worry.
It's the altitude. Yeah. It's not the book. I love that answer because I love that book. When I first started reading YA, one of the first YA books I ever read was like, all of the books I got were just what's on sales at Chapters. That's what that was my reading taste, the sale section. And I guess they had a bunch of remaindered copies or something of Memoirs of a Teenage Amnesiac by Gabrielle Zevin. And I read it and I loved it. And then I read her other YA book, which is really weird, Elsewhere. Have either of you read Elsewhere?
I think I might have read that as a teenager, or I might have started it and never finished it. I definitely remember having it in my hands at one point.
It's so weird. It's a book about a teenage girl who dies and wakes up in basically heaven. Well, she wakes up on a cruise ship that's taking her to heaven, and everyone on the cruise ship, by the end of the trip, they have to realize that they're dead, basically. And then once they get to heaven, they age backwards for the amount of years old that they are. So, you know, if you died when you're 25, you have 25 years until you age backwards to be a baby, and then you're put in a river and sent back to Earth.
I love that. Strange, though. It's very so strange.
So strange. It's so weird. But I was like, this author is really interesting. Like, she's writing some very cool stuff. So when she released that adult book a couple years ago, I was like, I've got to check it out. And it was not what I was expecting at all, but you're so right, Colleen. That is a real heartwarming, tear-jerking kind of an affair. It's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. All the feels. All the feels.
I've got to read
it. I'm glad you tackled it.
Yeah, it's a nice reprieve from the gore and the anxiety of what I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you say is the last great book that you read? The last book that kind of took your breath away?
The last book that I would say was fantastic was Night Bitch by Rachel Yoder.
Raylene loves
that book.
That
is crazy, man.
It was wild and so beautiful. It's about a woman who only refers to herself through the entire book as the mother, and her and her husband one night come up with this joke where she refers to herself as Night Bitch because she's dealing with, you know, their child's a toddler. She never dealt with postpartum depression, but things are kind of all of a sudden starting to hit her and she doesn't know how to deal with it. She's not sleeping. And she goes into this feral feminist where you're not sure if it's an art project or if it's really happening to her or if she's just overtired. And all of a sudden, her canines get a little bit sharper and she starts growing body hair. And, oh, is that a tail? I don't know. Night Bitch is born.
And then she refers to herself as Night Bitch.
I love that title. It's so fun to say that you don't really care that it's kind of a profanity. You're like, it's fine. I get to say Night Bitch.
Yeah.
Night Bitch. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. My favorite is when I see it at the bookstore and they've got like the price tag specifically over parts of it.
clever.
I haven't seen that. That's really good. I also love the cover of that book. That is an evocative cover. Mm-hmm. Just this slab of meat. Ugh. But with the beautiful red nails.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Very nice.
So good. All right. Well, that brings us to our final kind of lightning round question. What are you currently reading? What's on the docket for you right now?
So currently I have two on the go because mm-hmm. one is an audiobook. And we don't sleep in this house unless we have something that we're listening to. So much to my partner's dismay, sometimes he's like, can we switch this? Can we turn this off? I can't sleep for this. Can we please put on this. Can we put on a podcast or something else? I am currently listening to The Resting Place by Camilla Sten. Mm. She also wrote The Lost Village. This is translated from Swedish. Mm. It's about a woman who has face blindness and witnesses the murder of her grandmother. But then, if that wasn't traumatic enough, she has face blindness. Mm. So she doesn't know if it's someone that she knows, if it was a complete That's stranger. Crazy. And then she ends up going out to her grandmother's old spooky estate.
Ooh.
Mistake.
Not a good idea.
It's going to end well. What do you mean? It's going to be so positive.
Happy, heartwarming.
Positive.
Yeah. It's just been misshelved. And then along that just a nice vacation. Along that similar vacation note, I am currently physically reading Wonderland by Zoe Stage, who wrote Baby Teeth. I haven't read that, but that's a fairly common horror read for a lot of people who are getting into it. This family decides to move from their busy apartment in New York to a small, isolated, totally chill, totally nothing scary is going to happen at all cabin in the woods.
Love it.
They're just going to paint and make ceramics, and it's going to be great.
I think that's so, I don't know why I find that so funny, because I guess just because we know it's not going to work out, you guys. It's just totally not.
You go into it knowing it's a horror book, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds cool.
Are you enjoying both of them?
I'm loving them both so far. I love family dynamics. I love female relationships, whether it's sisters, or I love multi-generational novels. So especially the Camilla Sten one, where it's her relationship with her grandmother, I'm really enjoying.
Are you usually reading multiple things at once?
Oh, yeah. Sorry to cut you off there. I'm like, oh, yeah, say less.
I love that, because Raylene, you've been sort of becoming that way a bit lately, but I feel like you don't like it.
It kind of scares me a little when I do it, like, because often what happens is I'll be reading a physical book and then I'll be listening to an audiobook, but then sometimes I get in the mood for another physical book, maybe two, and so like as soon as I have three or four on the go, I'm like, I like to start a book and then finish it and then kind of go from there, and
I can just imagine Raylene, like, I'm picturing you, like, driving a car on the highway, and then you, like, slightly get onto the shoulder, and then you slightly now are all terrain, and you're like, oh, no, it's too much!
Yeah, I, like, start losing control. Yeah.
Can I ask you, Raylene, do you think part of that's your personality, or do you think that's because of what you do for a living and your commitment to kind of, like, talking about books?
Ooh.
It's definitely your personality.
It's my personality, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like to, like, keep things organized, and as soon as I start to have too many things, like too much information going into my brain, it's like, ah, not good. But yeah, I do like having more books on the go to talk about them. I definitely like that aspect, but then it just doesn't really jive with my my brain.
Raylene is like a very she is very much the organized one of this duo, and I think, like, when Raylene has a TBR, she actually sticks to it, whereas I read one of them, and then I forgot about the TBR. So, I feel like that part of Raylene's brain, you're like, why would I not finish these other books?
Yeah.
Why did I do this to myself?
Yeah. Yeah, like, exactly.
TBR is a suggestion. It's just a suggestion.
I do definitely go off of them quite a lot, but if I start a book, I usually finish it, whereas Ariel might start a few books.
No,
and then not finish them ever. And that gives me anxiety to think about doing that.
That gives me anxiety.
It sure do.
I love that. All right. Well, we're going to hop into some recommendations from people that they've sent in to us. Mm-hmm. Super excited because we tailored these to Colleen. And when I emailed these over, I emailed like four or five different options. And you were like, three and four, a million exclamation marks. And you're like, I know these. I've got books.
I'm a professional emailer, okay? There's a lot of caps locks, exclamation marks.
There should be. I think our generation needs to break apart formal emails because it's too much to handle. If I can't put an emoji in there, there's no point in doing it.
It's like, how are they supposed to know how I feel?
Exactly. All right, Raylene, do you have them in front of you?
I do.
Choose
okay.
one and read it out.
All right, we're going to choose the one from Brianna, who says, hello from Indiana. I have been dipping my toes into horror, and I am shocked by how broad this genre is. I don't necessarily like paranormal or ghost-centered horror. I like horror in which the vibe is subtly creepy and almost seems normal, but there is a horror undertone. An example of this would be Comfort Me with Apples by Catherine M. Valente. Thanks in advance. Have you read that book, Colleen, just out of curiosity?
I have not, but I put it on my little list of books to check out when I'm allowed to buy books again.
Right?
Are you on a book buying bin?
I mean, don't worry about it.
I should be. Doesn't mean I am.
I recently alphabetized my horror section and went,
cool.
Oh, no.
Oh dear, they don't fit.
What have I done? I love that. All right, well, Colleen, start us off. What do you have for Brianna?
So I have three books here, two by one author in particular. This first author is Mr. Ian Reid.
That's what I was going to recommend.
Okay, it's okay. It's okay. Most people will know him for I'm Thinking of Ending Things, but I'm actually going to recommend his new book that comes out in September, which is We Spread by Ian Reid. Cool, this is about an old woman who she's been an artist her entire life, and her partner has passed away. All of a sudden, some people come and say, it's time that you go to this home. You had this planned. You had this planned. This was to be expected. And she's like, I know I hit my head trying to change a light bulb, but I have no recollection of any of this. So she's taken to this estate where there's only three other seniors and then two staff. And immediately she's excited. It's beautiful. She's getting connection. She's been really isolated for a long time. So she's getting that connection, but she feels like they want them to be a little bit too connected.
Oh no, I hate it.
It's so good.
That sounds really like an interesting concept.
He has really good premises. I've only read the one book by him so far, but I'm really intrigued by all of his books.
It was fantastic.
Did either of you see the movie version of the other one?
I didn't like it. I didn't,
you didn't like,
like
it really?
No.
Uh-oh.
Did I had like mixed feelings.
Yeah. I just feel like it's the type of book that like doesn't translate well in the first place. Like it's more of a non-visual type of situation. Kind of like Bird Box. It's like, how is Bird Box going to become a movie? Right. But that's a story for another day. But yeah, no, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it, the movie, but I was like,
But you did really like the book.
Yeah.
I enjoy the tension of reading something that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy watching something that makes me uncomfortable for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
I feel that.
I totally agree with that. It's so fascinating because I've realized that like there's so much violence and gore even that I can handle in a book, but I can't handle in film. Like there's even one scene or one like episode of The Sandman where things got pretty violent and I just like literally turned the laptop away and I'm just like, I can listen to my way through it, but I was like, I don't need the visuals. I can just imagine it and kind of, I guess, censor it a little bit. All right, so you had two books, but is it those two and then another one?
Yeah, for so I'll first? Skip. Okay. I'm thinking of ending things since Riley is going to talk about that one. And then my other one is Hidden Pictures by Jason Rekulak, which is about a woman who she's recently gotten sober. She's looking for some stability and structure in her life, and she gets a nanny job that just seems too good to be true.
It is. I'm sure it is.
No. Everything turns out great. And the book actually has drawings in it.
Ooh, I love that.
Oh, they're spooky too.
But it's confusing to our main character because this toddler's drawing prowess seems to be a little advanced, and he starts drawing some things that are questionable. Perhaps a gentleman in the forest with an axe. Who's to say? I don't know. Give it a read. So everything seems great. It's very summery kind of vibes. You know, they're in the pool, they're playing, they're having a good time. But then, again, Brianna, for you, that subtly creepy something is wrong vibe is strong in that one.
What was the book called again?
Hidden Pictures by Jason Rekulak.
I was like, it was definitely not Hidden Figures.
Hold on a second. Maybe I'll take a stack photo of everything that I've talked about and send it to you. Okay.
Yeah, that
it's a big pile, but...
No, that's good.
This is especially fun because I've been wanting to get into horror more recently. Like, I'm really starting to feel like it's August, but it's actually October. So I'm ready. I'm ready to start diving in, and I need more recommendations.
A set of 4 pumpkin mugs 2 days ago. I was like, I'm ready.
It's happening.
It's mid-August.
I'm so done with summer. It's October now. So
I drank hot apple cider the other night with the fan blasting on me beside
me. That's incredible.
And I was drinking it and just like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not sweating. It's September.
That's so funny. I know. I've started it's time for horror movies, like thrillers. Yeah. I just decided that a couple days ago and it's in full swing.
I love that. I was thinking earlier today, I was like, maybe we should have had Colleen closer to Halloween time. But I was like, actually, this is great because people can get these books in time for Halloween time. But also, I'm ready. I'm already there.
And it's not just us. Everybody that I follow on Instagram is like, you know what? It's actually time to buy pumpkins and stuff. Everybody's doing that right now. It's not just us.
I love that. Okay, really. Well, give us your shot with the other Ian.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of Ending Things was the first thing that came to mind when I read this recommendation request because everything seems so normal. It's just a couple that are driving in the snow and they're on their way somewhere and you're like, okay, this is fine. This is totally normal. But then, at some point they get off the road and go to a weird school and things start to get really creepy and strange from there. And you don't know what exactly is going on or what's wrong, but you know something is wrong. And it's just so eerie and spooky. And I remember reading it in one sitting in the dark on my e-reader, oh my goodness, this is so spooky. And it instantly reminded me of a school that I've been to as well. And so Ariel, you know this, when we went to, we were read at this school one time because it was close to my house. Yeah. And every time we went there, I'm like, oh, this is the spooky school, even though it's not actually spooky at all. And this book is just full of mundane twists and turns, nothing too crazy, but there's spooks around every corner. So I really love that for that.
I really don't read horror. I was looking at my shelf. I kind of clung on to this one thing that Brianna said, which is subtly creepy, almost seems normal, but has that kind of scary undertone. And I realized that a lot of the translated Asian stuff that we read gives me those vibes.
Totally.
Where you're like, something is off. You're just like, I don't know what it is. So I picked two. I picked The Vegetarian by Han Kang.
Love that.
Which is very similar to Night Bitch, Colleen, which we were kind of talking about. They have these interesting similarities. But this is a book about a woman who wakes up one night in the middle of the night, kind of in that a dream state, and she suddenly starts chucking all the meat out of her fridge and she decides she's going to be a vegetarian. And it's scary because you're like, where did this impulse come from? Why is she suddenly so strictly vegetarian? And kind of the opposite of Night Bitch in that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like the other one, like Going Carnivore. But I feel like that's the name of a book or a band or something. Going Carnivore. Somebody write that down. But yeah, this book is also, this is sort of similar to what you were saying, Colleen, about like these books about women. What did you say it was called? Good for Her.
Oh, Good for Her.
Good for Her. Yeah.
Good for Her.
A little bit maybe of that vibe where it's just this woman who's like finally standing up for herself in some settings and moments where it almost feels inappropriate for her to do so because of the culture around her. And that's this underlying level of stress as well. And then I'm interestingly recommending a book that I didn't like very much, but lots of people do like it. So it's like Brianna might like it. And it's The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa. Have you read that one, Colleen? You like that
I
one?
Love that book!
I definitely want to reread it because when we read it, we had such expectations for it that I think like it just didn't meet what we expected it to be. But I think it probably is a great book and I just need to read it again.
I think so.
I think we went in with a different idea of what it was gonna be, and so we sort of like were, yeah, like you said, really, we kind of, our expectations were let down, but I think we just had the wrong expectations.
Exactly.
But this is a very spooky book about a government who somehow, and it's not explained, but somehow has the ability to erase its society's memories. And so they start to forget things, and it starts very subtly, like people forget what birds are, or people forget what string is. But then it starts to get more and more intense, and it's just, it really, it feels like sinking. This book feels like sinking, like you're really like sinking down and you're forgetting and nothing's making much sense. It's very, very spooky, very interesting. Not adaptation, but like inspired by 1984 in some interesting ways. So it is definitely an interesting book. And when I thought of that kind of subtle creepiness, I had to mention that one.
Love that.
You read another Yoko Ogawa, right, Raylene? The House and the Housekeeper and the something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, Housekeeper and the Professor.
Yes. Did you like that one?
I liked it. I definitely liked it more than when we read The Memory Police, but it's totally different. And that's something else I like about her is her books are all completely different. She also has a short story collection that I read, and it's just kind of like kind of more spooky as well. So she's good for the spooky and the non-spooky.
I love it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Raylene, hit us with that next recommendation.
Okay. So this one is super fun. This one is from Jacob, who says, "Hello, I am heading to the beach this summer and I'm looking for a fun, fast-paced book I can read while on the beach. I was wondering if you all had any recommendations for a thriller slash light horror book that would keep me engaged during my beach reading. I haven't delved very deep into these genres, so I'm looking for something a bit lighter but still intriguing."
Cool.
Love that. So we're taking us back into summer now. It's not October yet.
Jacob's like, pull it back. Pull it back.
You guys need to calm down.
Whoa.
All right, Colleen, start us off. What do you got?
All right, Jacob. First off, I want you to know that I sat in front of my shelf being like, light horror. Oh man. I can't screw this guy up. I can't give him nightmares. We gotta... Okay, beach read. So we have the perfect summer read, which is My Best Friend's Exorcism by Grady Hendrix, who I think is my favorite male writer for writing female characters, first of all.
Oh, interesting. My
Best Friend's Exorcism is about two sophomores in high school, Abby and Gretchen, and they've been best friends since they were kids. Because no one showed up to one of their birthday parties, and they, except for the other one, and they bonded.
So cute.
They've been friends ever since. So they're part of a friend group where, you know, there's varying degrees of friendship. There's the peer pressures of high school, and they're out at the lake, they're out at the beach, and skinny dipping goes awry. Gretchen, you know, goes missing for a period of time. They end up finding her, but after that night, she's just different. She's changed. No, she's just writing poetry in the forest. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But it's super, as spooky as that sounds, it's very summery. There's moments where I outright laughed. There were also moments where I was outright yelling and pissed off because it does deal with the misogyny that happens, especially towards teenage girls when they speak of their experiences. But overall, very summary. Kind of
that sounds perfect.
Lighter horror read.
That sounds absolutely perfect. For this one, did you only have that one pick?
Of course not, Ariel.
I was like, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure she has more. What do you have next?
I picked two for each, which was a challenge, but you know. The other one I picked, which is nice and short, is Moon of the Crested Snow by Wabgishig Rice, who is an indigenous writer, which I also have a goal of. I'm trying to read more BIPOC and female writers in the horror genre.
Nice.
This one would also work really well for Brianna's request. This one is about a town, a reserve that's really far north, and it's an indigenous community. All of a sudden, the power goes out. They don't have reception anymore for their radio. The phones go out, the television, and initially they struggle, but then there's this beauty where they start returning to the ways of their ancestors and even some of their living parents in the community who that's just how they lived, and they start, you know, often getting more in touch with their culture. Our main character starts having dreams, which are really, really significant and important in indigenous cultures. But then things just don't seem quite right with some strangers show up on the reserve and start trying to take things over.
This is why I'm so scared just hearing about the book.
Immediate no. But with both of these, there's a lot of beauty in them as well, which I think makes them better kind of summary. Maybe someone who's a beginner to horror, so they're wanting something that's still intense and scary, but isn't that the whole way through.
Excellent.
I love that.
That's what I got for you.
And you've read the first one, right, Ray?
Yeah, I was actually going to recommend that, but I came up with another idea. So
I'm sorry.
I'm like on point with Colleen's recommendations, the perfect horror queen over there. So I came up with another one though while you were talking. So it's a good thing that you went first. But yeah, I agree though. My Best Friend's Exorcism is the perfect one, which is why I picked it. But my next recommendation that I decided to go with is Joyland by Stephen King, which is less horror, more just kind of like mystery a little bit, but it does have, like, towards the end, it gets a little crazy. But this one, I think, is a good start into kind of horror, in quotes, as well, just because it is like a Stephen King book, but it's not super scary or super gory, so it could be a good way to, like, dip your toes in. It's more of like a summer mystery. So the main character is this, like, 20-something guy that gets a job at a carnival, and it's set in 1973, which is also super fun. So it's like an old-timey carnival. And at this carnival, at this theme park, there was once a murder. So it kind of has like a spooky past, but everything's kind of cool now. And the main character like kind of makes friends with this woman and her young son. And so there's like a lot of different things going on, and there's a mystery that kind of weaves itself throughout the story. And like I said, does get kind of crazy later in the book. So it's the perfect summer book. I read it in the summer and it was just glorious. So I highly recommend that. A great murder. It's a great coming of age. Yeah. And the setting is really fun too, the whole theme park. So it's a really cool book.
That sounds like a perfect pick. And I do think that people have just enough time to like get in one or two more summary books in there, right? So this sounds perfect. The book that I picked, again, guys, I'm the failure of the group this time because I was just like picking at straws. I was like, could this count? Maybe. But I'm doing Through the Woods by Emily Carroll, which is basically the only horror novel that I ever mentioned. It's not even a novel book, I mean. Here's the reason I love it. Number one, it was one of the first horror type books that I read and I loved it. So I feel like if you're new to horror stuff, this actually will work because it's really fun. The art is so beautiful. So that's always fun. But also it's an anthology. It's a bunch of different stories. So I was thinking this would be perfect for a beach type situation because you can just like read a story and not take very long, and then I was like, go swim and then read another story. I'm like, that's a very ideal beach situation that never happens, but you know what I mean. The other one that I wanted to mention, I couldn't quite find it. But Raylene, do you remember my new favorite ghost book?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm now blanking on the title. What is the title of that book, Raylene?
Ghost in the House?
Yes!
I wasn't sure. I was like, in the walls? I don't know.
Yeah, so the book is called The Ghost in the House by Sarah O'Leary. I love this book. This is by a Canadian author. It is so, so good. And it's funny because Brianna had mentioned she's not really into ghost stuff. But I feel like I might slowly be getting into ghost stuff.
Yeah.
Because I have enjoyed quite a few ghost movies. And I think that this might be my way into the horror genre, like book-wise. But this is a story about a woman who is married and, you know, she wakes up and realizes that she's dead. Can you wake up and realize you're dead? You know what I mean? She's a ghost. But what happens, very interestingly, is when she reemerges onto the scene, it's been 5 years. So she doesn't really know where those 5 years have gone, but suddenly she's back in this house. So it's a little bit of a haunted house story, but it's kind of more of like a haunted marriage story, I guess, a haunted relationship story, because she wants her husband back, but he's moved on because it's been 5 years. And it's so subtly stressful, a little bit spooky, but also just beautiful. Have you read it, Colleen? Have you heard of this one?
I have not, but I am... leaning closer and closer to my camera right now, like, I will be looking this up.
I think you'd really like it. I really, really enjoyed it, and it was so beautiful that it actually made me cry, which books Ooh. Never actually make me cry. You know, like, books will often, like, I'm feeling it, but I'm not, like, no tear squeezed
yeah,
out.
That's rare.
But with this one, I had, like, a single tear down the cheek. I was like, she's been through too much.
You know what? Good for her.
Good for her. Good for her.
You haunt that guy.
Love that. Okay, so before we end this episode and jump into doing our Patreon mini podcast, I'm so sorry, Colleen, but I'm going to be springing a question on you because I should have thought to ask you this, but I can't let you go without asking you.
Okay.
If people are brand new to the genre, mm-hmm. what is that one or two book that you think people should maybe give it a shot? Because I'm feeling inspired by this episode. I'm like, I do want to check out horror. I will say, while you were talking, I bought A Certain Hunger by Chelsea Summers.
Yes! Yes!
What? It is on its way. Chapters has received
Amazing.
My order. So that one's coming. But is that the one that you're like, yeah, that's where people should start? Or was there a book that you're like, this is the perfect beginner's book to the genre?
I would say A Certain Hunger. Excellent. Very, very yes. excited for you to get that, by the way. You'll please let me know when you read
I will.
That.
I will let you know.
Another Grady Hendrix that I think everyone should read is The Final Girl Support Group.
Mm. Oh, I've seen that one around, totally.
I think the trope of the final girl is a really great beginning place for a lot of horror people.
Yeah.
And it's intense, but it's not quite as intense or visceral as A Certain yes. Hunger.
Yeah.
I think if you're a squeamish person, that one might be a little bit harder for someone yeah. to read. So The Final Girl Support Group by Grady Hendrix, again, he's an amazing writer. He's so funny. He doesn't take himself too seriously, but he really, I think he writes female characters just beautifully. And, oh man, as I'm looking at my shelf here,
it's unfair what I've done. I sprung it on you.
You know what? We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. It's okay. It's mine is not improv.
It's so funny.
I would say if you're not sure about horror, but you'd like to kind of be horror adjacent with thrillers, check out anything by Karen Slaughter. She is the queen of the South. Her thrillers almost always deal with sisterly relationships, and I think just as a female writer, she really goes there. in a way that I think a lot of writers would maybe be scared to try. She's very honest. She's very blunt.
I love that. That's cool.
I think, yeah, she approaches a lot of kind of her past and her own thoughts on the page really well. And yeah, if you're looking for a good thriller mystery, she's got such a variety, right, from like straight up we're solving a murder to, you know, kind of cop literature to just a big variety of things.
I love that. Thank you for throwing some extra recs our way. We've had such a blast having you on, and we're super grateful to you for doing the podcast with us. I do want to give a little update to the listeners here. So if you didn't subscribe to the Bookmark Club at the beginning of the year, you probably spent the whole year frustrated, thinking, God damn it, should have done it. Well, thank gosh, we're going to be offering some bonus sets of the bookmarks. So if you miss Colleen's bookmarks and you're like, I've got to have those, there will be a very limited amount available in November. But we were also going to be opening the subscription back up in November for next year. So this is the beginning of that notice, but you'll have ample notice when we get closer to the date. So don't freak out if you can't have the bookmarks right now. You will have an opportunity to get them in the future. Again, Colleen, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and for illustrating those beautiful bookmarks. And we're now going to be hopping over to our Patreon to record a mini podcast where we're going to talk about some movies. And I'm very excited to hear some of your horror movie recs and stuff. So that's going to be really fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to everyone next week.
Bye.
Bye.